The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from New Hartford, Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program is Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio in Cherokee. Nikki, go ahead with your first question.
Hello, Senator. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, I'm always glad to do this, and thank you for taking time to do it.
Absolutely. No, my first question is regarding, the battle with ISIS. Can you maybe give us an update on what's happening there at this time?
Yeah. It looks like we're getting cooperation from people in the Middle East that probably have as much or more of a interest in peace there than even we do. And it's expanded to bombing command headquarters, communication facilities, and refineries. It's an attempt to limit ISIS from expanding beyond what they have. It's probably not going to stop their existence or right now. It's going to limit their capability. We intend to keep it up for a long period of time. We are going to spend some U.S. dollars and our professional military people to go to Saudi Arabia and train people in the Middle East that want to take on ISIS and hopefully use them as the ground troops so we don't have to do any more than what we're presently doing, which is having American troops serve as advisors or being there to protect American citizens that are in Iraq.
All right, and then moving on to my next question regarding health care reform. You know, me, as being somebody who hasn't been insured for health insurance for a very long time, and being told that I need to be insured, what happens now? As I was not able to step up because the website wasn't working great. What happens next for the people like me that aren't able to get that health care?
Well, the Obamacare is still the law of the land, and if you have trouble accessing the website so that you can't get it, there's people that can help you, and you need to do it. And I say this not because I think Obamacare is the best law, because I voted against it, but it's still the law of the land. And and what they call the individual mandate, you have to show that you have insurance, or you have to pay a penalty. So you want to make sure that you do everything you can to sign up. And if you can't access it on the website, there's people that can help you. I'm not sure I can give you the direction to go, but somebody on my staff could do that, and you should do that. And that's the answer to the fact: if you want health insurance, that's not the only way to get it. But if you're entitled to any of the subsidies or anything that go along with it, you would be able to get it. And the fact that if you had a pre-existing condition, the law doesn't allow you to be denied insurance. Now, you may also be asking the question from the standpoint that it's an issue in this election. I think the practical matter is that people can I campaign against Obamacare, but the chances of changing it dramatically, even if Republicans take over Congress completely, if we pass a bill, I assume the president's going to veto it, and we aren't going to pass it over his veto. So as a practical matter, unless the president agrees to some changes that Congress might want to impose, it's the law of the land for the next 2 years until we get a new president. And then it depends upon if that president wants to change it. If it's a Democrat president, I assume not. If it's a Republican president, I assume there will be several changes, but not everything's going to be changed.
You know, what is that penalty about? I mean, I had heard many different things.
Well, yeah, here's what it is. When you file your income tax, you have to show the IRS that you have health insurance, and if you don't have health insurance, you have to pay the penalty. Last year, it was just $95, but it's going to very dramatically wrap up to several hundred dollars that you're going to have to pay the IRS if you don't want insurance under the individual mandate. Now, I happen to think that that's unconstitutional, but the court ruled that it was constitutional. So if it's going to be changed, we'll have to change it by law.
All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about, like, the immigration reform. I remember there was something set, but maybe kind of give us an update on that, because I understand that there are some changes to be made yet.
Well, sure, there's a lot of changes got to be made to immigration reform because it's got to be reformed because it just isn't working. The number one thing is to make sure the border's secured, because just like a sieve, you see people almost willy-nilly walking into our country to be arrested, because they know if they get arrested, the chances of staying here while a court hears you, if they can even get you to appear in court, you're pretty much safe. And that's not the way the immigration system should work. One of the basic rules of sovereignty is controlling your borders, and we don't control the southern borders. That's number one. Number two is the Senate's passed a bill, not one to my liking because I voted against it, but I think the House of Representatives would pass a bill that controls the borders, and I could vote for it, but they aren't going to pass a bill. So this whole issue goes over till next year, except for what you heard the president said, that whatever he could do by executive order, he was going to do. Now, I think he acts in an unconstitutional way when he does these executive orders, when he should be working with Congress to get a new bill passed, and he's not willing to sit down and work with Congress. He just wants to complain because Congress isn't passing an immigration bill. It takes two people to dance, and he's not in the dance.
All right. Now, talking about, like, Colorado and Washington, I was reading something the other day about how their taxes are getting pretty high because of the legalization of marijuana. And maybe compare that to, like, other states that don't have it.
Well, I think that what you're saying is there's a lot of people that go to Colorado to buy legalized marijuana, and it's taxed at a very high rate, and it's bringing more money into their treasuries. But you got to remember that if the federal law was enforced, Colorado couldn't do that. But here's another example of where the president is going to pick and choose which laws he wants to enforce. And he's saying as long as Colorado keeps the marijuana within their state, they're not going to prosecute anybody. But it's still against the law for Colorado to sell marijuana. And so if the federal law was enforced, they couldn't do it. And so you get back to which laws are the president going to enforce or not. It's immigration, no. Marijuana laws, no. You know, and where do you stop? When you have a president that picks and chooses which laws he's going to enforce, eventually you're going to have social chaos because the rule of law is the basis for internal peace within our society and the extent to which people respect that law.
All right, and finally, my last question will be regarding the upcoming elections. And I know you haven't really endorsed many people in the past, but I understand that you're going to have support for Joni Ernst. Maybe talk a little bit about the upcoming elections.
Yeah. I support Joni Ernst because she's fully qualified. And most importantly, with stuff going on in the Middle East like it is, very few military people in the United States Senate, she being a combat veteran, being the first female combat veteran to ever serve in the United States Senate, I think we need her expertise. But there's a bigger reason for voting for Joni Ernst. If she's elected to the Senate, Reid's not going to run the United States Senate. And he runs the Senate in a dictatorial way where the other 99 senators don't have much to say because he won't let amendments up that he doesn't approve. He shuts off debate before there's even been debate. The 1974 law requires Senate to adopt a budget every year. We've only adopted a budget once in the last 5 years, and that's not the way to run the United States Senate. The United States Senate is supposed to be a deliberative body where 100 senators participate, where any senator can offer an amendment, and any senator's got a right to debate. And Reid doesn't run the Senate that way. So we got to get rid of Reid as the majority leader. And when he's a minority leader, he won't have that power. And Joni Ernst, being elected, will get a new majority leader that will run the Senate the way it's supposed to be run. And with Joni Ernst, we're going to get somebody that understands the military. And we need more of that in the Senate because of the war on terror.
Thank you, Nikki, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.